Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
And welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Bessie here at the Round Tables with Mothers and Daughters Around the World. Just want to say, get to my piece here. Want to say thank you so very much for joining us this morning. I want to make sure that you hear me. I'm going to go to the switchboard and tap in. Let's see. Da, 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 da. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I just wanted to make sure you could hear me. I have some headsets on this morning.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're coming through loud and clear.
Good. Well, you sound good and chipper this morning. That's a good thing.
You know, it absolutely is. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice. Glad in it.
All right. I'll be right back with you. Let's get the prayer
yes,
in.
Ma'am.
Get up on Frida here, and I'll get back with you in a little bit.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Let's see here. So, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, sisters.
How are you this morning?
Oh, God is good.
That's
doing
good.
Well,
that's
thank
good.
You.
Great. Before I get into running my mouth this morning, I said, let me just stop and go with the script here and let's do the prayer before I get to going. Sometimes I get started and get too far in and don't want to do that this morning. So would you be willing to give us the prayer this morning?
Yes, thank you very much for asking me. Father, we come before you thanking you for your mercy, your tender kindness. We thank you for being Abba Father, O God, to us, O Lord. We thank you, God, today, the giver of life, O Father God. We bless your name, O God, for this is the day that you have made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it, O God. We honor you, God. We ask, O Father God, that you help us, O God, to live a surrendered life to you, O God. That we'll give, O God, cast our cares unto you, O God, because you care for each and every last one of us, Lord. We bless your name, O Father God, today during this Christmas season, O Father God, of your son Jesus, O Father God, and his birth, O Father God, that you are our true gift, O God. That we, O Father God, will not be consumed with buying gifts, O Father God, that there's somebody that would give their life to the Lord. That's the greatest gift that you can give to Jesus. So, Lord, we ask that you will touch the hearts of those, O Father God, the mothers and daughters, the men, O God, those, O Father God, that have not surrendered and have not given their life to you, O God, that they will give their life to you this very day, O God, during this Christmas season, O Father God, as you change and transform their life, O Father God, in the name of Jesus, O God, and let them know, O Father God, you love and care and give them a purpose in life according to 11. We thank you, Father God, for Ezekiel 16:44, as is the mother, so is the daughter, as we raise up an army of mothers and daughters and grandchildren and generations, O God, as we change this world for you, O God, through your gospel, in Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, and welcome back. We missed you.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be back.
Okay.
Miss you too.
All right. All right. That was Frida giving us the prayer this morning. Just want to say thank you, Frida. Frida was gone for a couple of weeks, and, you know, the Lord will send us on different journeys. We can't always be together all the time. I keep telling us as we grow, we're going to have to go different places so that we can go through to and for throughout the world, you know, and not get to where we feel like we're the Siamese twins, you know. One can't go without the other. It's just too much work to do. And this coming 2017, our schedule is booked, and for the first quarter just about, with several different events. So I could see, I could see us going and doing simultaneously events at the same time. So, you know, be careful what you ask for, because you get it, and it's all within the plan of God. So therefore, we told him we'd go and do the work, and he's lining it up and preparing us to go out into the vineyard. I just want to say, let's see here. I'm going to get Cynthia on before I get in and to the program. Let me see what I want to do here. I have a format. I'm trying to follow it because we have new people that come on, and when you come on, I don't want you to come on and not know exactly what we're doing if we're just talking off the cuff. We do have a format that we follow, and our base platform is Ezekiel 16:44, as is the mother, so is her daughter. And that is, you know, from which we work from. I mean, and it's deep if you think about it. So I'd just like to say that's what God has asked us to work from, and that's where we pull a lot of our faith from, because when we're talking about educating, teaching the Word of God, you know, I believe there's a recipe that we have to follow. And there are things that we have to look at in order to renew our minds to change. Because, you know, even before you, those of you that are saved and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you look back before then, you was not following the same recipe that you're following now. And so that's the way I look at Ezekiel 16:44. You know, when we look back at our lives as mothers and not knowing but doing the very best that we knew how at that time, we can renew our relationships with our daughters like we renew our minds, and therefore, you know, get a different result. So as we grow in through Christ, getting to know and build our relationship with God, that allow us to also train our daughters, because they're watching us, they're looking at us, and they're seeing how we handle situations and the way we react to people. So if you are loving and caring and your daughter's watching you and see how you handle it, even though I just use Mrs. Jones because I guess, you know, that's just a typical name. And I'm not talking about me and Mrs. Jones have a good thing going. It's just that it's a common name to use. So the same for Mrs. Jones, you know, she see you laughing and talking to Mrs. Jones, but then when you get home, she hear you talking about Miss Jones on the phone to somebody else. It confuses your daughter. She doesn't understand. You know, and then therefore those habits creep into her spirit because she figure, okay, my mother did it and she's all right, so I figure I can do it. So then she start talking about her girlfriends, and this could be kindergarten. But what we're doing is setting the stage to be emulated by our daughters. So we have to stop and think, reassess, renew our behavior. But it starts with renewing our mind. So I'm your host. I'm Dr. Bessie, and I'm here at the round table, and my co-hosts are Cynthia Oliver and Frida Hunter, and we come on Saturday mornings, as the Lord allow us, and we share our week. We share our testimonies. We share a thought with you. We share the Word of God that comes into our heart, because God will tell us what he wants us to talk about. He's definitely going to give me an experience that week. I can tell you that. And as I've said, for the ones that have known, have been with us and followed us for years, is that, you know, I am the student. I'm being taught each week. And God is just allowing these lessons to come to see how I'm going to handle them. Now, I haven't always handled them very well. You know, sometimes, you know, I'll almost faint. You know, I tell people I'm never going to faint, but I'll almost, you know, like those Barbie dolls, you know, I might get knocked and I'll dip way to the side, but I won't stay there. It drops right back up. You know, so to faint is to stay and not to move and not get up. So that is life. But we learn the lessons and we get here on Saturday morning. And on Saturday morning, what I do is, so I'm getting a text here. When you text me, it throws my concentration off. Let's see. Okay. I think this is something. But it just gives me the strength to say, okay, God's got me. I can move forward. And then I adjust and I get right back up and I keep going. And then I share some of those things with you. I can't share everything with you on Saturday morning because you really don't have the time. We only have an hour show, but I try to share as much as I can that the Lord, especially the ones that the Lord say, now you need to share that because that's going to bless somebody. And although sometimes I don't know who all it blessed, but I do believe that, you know, if God said it, it is true. And somebody's being blessed out of whatever we share with you. And especially the prayer in the morning when we get up and we thank God and we just say, Father, we just thank you and we praise your name. We just adore you for being our creator. Do you know how creative God is? I mean, if you ever just stop and look at the things around you. I mean, I was telling him yesterday, you know, you're just the ultimate creator. And I'm made in your image, so therefore I can create what you create. Come on. We got to really get to that. We got to get to the point where we know that we know that we know. I mean, when you look at the things that he's created, including yourself, no one knows what's all inside of you but God. We see the outside. We see the skin. We see the form. But nobody knows all the details on the inside of the body. Not even scientists. God has created it in such a way that nobody knows but him. What a creator. The fish. And I think about it, you know, you named everything. You named everything. It would just blow your mind if you really just sit and think the things that he's created. From an ant to an elephant, people, all the different types of trees, plants, the elements, the universe. I mean, just everything that's in the ocean. And everything has a name. Everything is different. Wow. I was going through that with them yesterday. And I thought, God, you are so awesome. And just to think, we are made in his image. And what are we creating? He can create anything we want. But the enemy's job is to keep your intro conversation so confused that you have doubt. You say, oh, but that's God. Oh, but he's not a man that lies. And he said, you're made out of my image. That's why Jesus said, I do what the Father does, tell me to do, and I say what he tells me to say, because what? He know that will reproduce itself. So anyway, before I get ahead of myself, I just wanted to share that with you. That is just, you know, some things that I look at and just help build my faith. That just to look back at God's track record and to look back at his track record in my life and realize where I am right now, he's always provided. The only light is in my mind. And once you renew your mind, everything has fallen in place. So, if you can, text your friend, call your friend, mothers and daughters that you know, and ask them to call in at 347-539-5078. That's 347-539-5078. And click one, you guys, if you want to join in on the conversation. We definitely do what we can to make sure that we have it diverse enough to stimulate your thoughts and your feelings so that you'll, when you, you know, click off, you have something to think about that you will say, wow, I never thought about it that way. Or I didn't know God said that. Okay? So you can go back and listen. Of course, you can tell your friends. They can go to, excuse me, the mdbn.org. Excuse me, mdbn.org, and listen to the show at any time. So it'll be there, and you can hear it again if you want to go back and listen again. Our stimulating topic this morning is mothers and daughters living a prosperous life. You know, we've had a couple conversations for the last two Saturdays and kind of want to round it up and bring it into fold with living a prosperous life. So get your pen and paper and your favorite drink and sit back and relax and join us. Again, I'm your host. I'm Dr. Bessie here at the Round Table talking to mothers and daughters around the world. The announcement, good news, mothers and daughters. Yep, it's here. The book is ready, and we're looking at engagements for book signing. So if you'd like to have me come out and do a book signing at your home, your church, neighborhood, just give me an email at drbessie1@gmail.com. That's D-R-B-E-S-S-I-E, the number 1@gmail.com. I want to now bring on Cynthia. I'm going to go back to the switchboard and let her give us a report on the event on Thursday night. Hi, Cynthia. Are you there? Oh, no, wait a minute. I got the wrong one. I think we lost Cynthia. Okay. She said she needs a number to call in. I was wondering. She sent me a text. Sometimes I don't get the text when I'm talking, so let's see. You guys bear with me 1 minute, and I'll give her the number. Okay. So anyway, we'll wait for her to call in. If she calls in, then I can get back with her and get a report. But in the meantime, we'll go on. I'll go on with the program here. Again, our stimulating topic today is mothers and daughters living a prosperous life. And when we're talking about prosperous, you know, a lot of times people will say, you know, I believe in prosperity. Some people don't really believe in prosperity. They believe that they're supposed to suffer in some ways, you know. And it's all about, there again, going back to our upbringing and the people that we're around and how we were raised and the way that we viewed our parents. Especially the mother, because, you know, may it be a boy or a girl, they spend more time with the mother than they do with the father in most cases because the father's out working. And a lot of times the mother's there, you know, taking care of the family in the home, or she definitely got to get the baby dressed to take it to daycare and go through the things that they go through, pick them up in the afternoon, come back and undress them and feed them and get them ready for bed and read to them. So, you know, you spend a lot of times where the father mostly are the working person in the family. Now that mothers and daughters are working, don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying, you know, that's the way it usually was structured. So with that, you know, mothers, they are watching you and they take a lot away from that family structure. So last week our stimulating topic was mothers and daughters say what Jesus said. And what Jesus said is what the Father said. And he made it very clear, you know. And that's what I like about Jesus, is that he didn't rush to answer. Nobody could get him to speak just out of off the cuff. He didn't do it. And the other cool thing was that he really didn't talk to any particular person. Think about it. And I don't know why I said cool. That's so far off from me. But think about it. He never really talked to anyone. He would always talk in parables. So it was never directed to anyone, no one to say he said it to me or he accused me or, you know, there was no, that's why they couldn't really pinpoint him. They couldn't really charge him with anything because he never really said anything that would tie his, whatever it was back to him to you. It wasn't a connection like that. He would speak in parables. So it would be a statement that would really just blanket the whole multitude of people. And everybody would get it, but they'd get it according to where they were in their own intra conversation. What were they thinking? What were their belief systems? And he would say it, and they would receive according to that. You know, people at different levels. So sometimes when we are trying to share something with someone, we're so busy trying to convince them that this is the right way that we sometimes run people off. You have to realize we're all on a journey, and each of our journeys are unique and they're different, and they're all made up of the things that we know and have been taught. And if we don't know certain things, if we haven't been taught certain things as a child, it's going to be very difficult for us to relate to some things that people are telling us because we just don't know. You know, I don't know what you're talking about. You tell me something, I'm like, okay, that's not where my belief system is. But you can give me some information, and then if it's good and of good report, it will find a place to settle itself in my spirit. The things that don't settle in your spirit, you might want to say, let me go get the Bible and check this out and see what God says. Because Keith Moore, and I don't know if you all know Keith Moore or not, but Keith Moore is an excellent teacher, and God put me on the Keith for 3 years. I mean, I still listen to Keith, but it was 3 years intense, day and night. I'm talking day, night, all weekend. It was Keith Moore, Keith Moore, Keith Moore. And the one thing that Keith taught me, and God said, I want you to study under him and then model yourself after him, the way that he runs his ministries and the way that he interacts with people. And I just got into it, and the one thing that when he's teaching, he said, you know, when people say something to me, I don't get into a debate with it. I'm paraphrasing here. I don't get into a debate with them. He said, I go, let me see what God said. Go to the Bible. Don't believe me. He said, even if I say something, don't believe me. See what God said, because that's the final authority. That's the final word. And when people start telling me things, I'm listening, I'm thinking, did the Bible say that? Because we got so many cliches, you know, so many things that actually God didn't say. But we've heard it so much in a song. We've heard it in a song. I remember Keith saying something about this lady. He was in, she was in healing school, and he was ministering to her. And she said, well, I don't believe that. And he said, well, you know, what do you mean you don't believe that? That's the word of God. She said, but that's not what the hymn said. And see, because we've heard the hymns, we've heard, you know, these stories in song, all of our lives from children, that you believe those things to be true when they are so far from the truth. You don't have to climb the rough side of the mountain. You know, all these things that make us feel that we have to be less than in order to serve God. We can't be prosperous to serve God. You know, we can't show wealth to serve God, because then someone is going to say, who is that? Who does she think she is? Why is it that she's got all of this, and how she's serving God, and she's doing this and living this lifestyle? And see, I never believed that. I always felt that I was rich. Then the millionaire. Still the millionaire. See, when I was the millionaire, I said, everything I touch turned to gold. But see, you have to learn a lesson, because if you're in that state, you really don't see a lot of things that's happening around you. God has to allow things to happen in your life in order for you to really appreciate who he is and where that wealth comes from. Because when you're in a working mode and you get a contract, or you are doing well in your business, sometimes it's easy to think, oh, it's because I spoke to them that they signed that contract. It's because I did this and I got those contracts and I made this money. When in actuality, none of that is true. Because God said he's the one that gives you wealth. He gives you the ability to produce wealth. Tells you that in Deuteronomy 8:18. He gives you. See? And then when we get off track and we wonder what's happening, it's because we need to stop and renew our mind. Just like when we were running, some of us, you know, dancing in the club, and I was one of them, you know, I was safe since I was 18. But I still was dancing in the clubs, and I wasn't a club hopper, but I went to events, and I danced, and not saying there's something wrong with dancing. You got to know, you got to have a state of mind for everything that you do, is what I'm saying. So now, when you look back at it, when I think about it, I was in a state of mind of prosperity. No one couldn't tell me any different. But then when I started drifting off into Bessie, God had to let me know. I got to show her something. I got to let her know. She didn't create that. I gave her power and authority to create that. Somehow or another, she's let me slip out of the equation, and now all of this she thinks that she's done. And I'm using myself for that. I didn't realize that at the time. But now when I look back at it and look where I am now and then back, I'm thinking, you know, prosperity is mine all the time. It was my state of mind that changed. It was my state of mind. Because once God has done something for you, nothing can change that. But your state of mind will change your thoughts, which will create another environment for you. That's why he say choose. But he already told you. Jesus became poor so that we could become rich. But somewhere along in the equation, people that are around you tell you, oh, no, you can't be rich. If you're rich, you can't serve God. But then God showed me, he says, you know what? I have streets paved in gold. This is not something someone told me. This is something that is in the Bible. This is what he said. I have streets paved with gold. Gates are made out of pearls. You know, God is living large. God is the word. Prosperity. In 3 John 2, which is one of my favorites, he said what? Beloved, above all things, I wish you prosperity. I wish you health, even as your soul prospers. Now think about that. You would think that he would say, I wish you good health. And health would be the main thing. You would think health would come first. Think about it. Because when it comes to health, we can believe God. You let something happen to your body, all of a sudden you believe, by his stripes I'm healed. Any other time, you're just rolling along with life. But when something happens to that body, when the enemy attacks you, you go and you get what you know, by his stripes I am healed. And you fight to hold on to those words because you know he said it, you believe that it works, because you know that's your only saving grace, and nothing, The enemy will steal you if you don't stand on that and not faint. You've got to believe that you heal. You've got to believe that God has done it from the very beginning of time. From the beginning, before you were born, he created you. He created the health for you, and you hold on to that. You let cancer come. People get a whole different attitude of life. They know, in order for me to win this battle, I got to stand on this word. And they stand, and they don't waver. And those who don't waver, they survive. You hear people say, I had cancer. I know a lady, she had cancer 4 times, stage 4, and each time she got a song out now. Miss Pat, it says, I'm still standing. She went in an MRI tube and came out with a song and started singing. Didn't sing before she went in there. Beautiful voice. 4. Different time, stage 4 cancer. Now that's standing, and I'm still standing. We will fight for that health. But God didn't say health first. He said, above all things, I wish that you be prosperous. So that lets you know, without a shadow of a doubt, he intends for you to be prosperous. He intends for you to be wealthy, which is under the umbrella of prosperity. See, prosperity is just not money. Prosperity is the total package. Prosperity is good health. Prosperity is love, joy, peace. Prosperity is forgiveness. Prosperity is humility. Prosperity is money. The one thing that the enemy keeps saying, well, if you're not supposed to love money. No, he didn't say that. He said the love of money. See, money is here to serve you. But the enemy wants to keep you from being prosperous. Because if he can keep you from believing that God has created you and created a wealth, an inheritance, we hear about being the seed of Abraham. We hear about having an inheritance. People talk about it. Do you believe it? Do you have the same faith in your prosperity that you have if someone told you you had cancer? Would you pull up the same faith, that same level of faith? See, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you got a total package. He didn't just suffer and died on the cross so that we could suffer here on the earth, so that we could do without. It is a disgrace, and it is dishonoring the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ if we don't believe that out of all that he went through, he did it so that we would have the total package, lacking nothing. But the same way that you had to renew your mind to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's the same way you got to renew your mind to accept what he has paid the price for us to receive. And I'm not here to go through all of that with you, but what I'm telling you is that you need to seek it out for yourself. You need to ask, seek and knock in the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit will give you the answers. I can't give you your answers. I'm receiving answers for myself. I'm just sharing with you. If you believe that Jesus is the only way to get to God, and he is. So a lady said to me one time, she says, I just can't get into this thing where people telling me Jesus is the only way. There are many ways to get to God. And many of us have heard that. And I listened to her that day, and I was sitting there, and she says, I just can't stand it. We have a friend, a mutual friend together. And he just kept saying, well, that's the only way to get to God is you can't get to God except through Jesus. She says, I got a problem with that. And I was listening to her. And then all of a sudden, God spoke, and he said, you tell her so that she could understand that Jesus represents love. And without love, you certainly can't get to me. It's the love of Jesus that gets you before the Father. And when I explained that to her, because, see, people looking at, you got to go through Jesus. See, in their mind, they remember Jesus as a man. Like you got to walk through the body of a man to get to God. You know what I mean? No, Jesus represents the word love. That's why he said it's so important for us to love each other. You can't get to God without through love. If I hate you, how am I going to stand before God? Because you got to go through Jesus, which is love. He represents the purest form of love. So when you recognize that and know that he's love, through love, you can stand before the Father. So, brothers and daughters, when we go through what we go through, see, God chose us as mothers and daughters for a purpose. And he is looking for us to help him. And I'm going to tell you why. The core to all creation is the mother and the daughter. And somebody may say, men especially, well, Dr. Fletcher, how are you going to say that? How are you going to say the core to all creation? The human creation, let me say that, is the mother and daughter. And then God showed it to me. He made it very, very clear, very simple. He said, the only way to get to me is through Jesus Christ. And the only way that a human can enter the earth realm is through a mother. There's no other way. You see the similarities? You cannot come into this earth realm without being born through a woman which becomes your mother. So, we have a responsibility for the humans that we bring into this world. And God is holding us, mothers, accountable for the children. He has given mothers 9 months to nurture the souls of the spirit that's entered into a body that is transforming to the earthly realm. We are responsible for their souls, mothers. And if we don't take that 9 months and condition their soul, it may take 50 years for God to recruit their souls. Spirit is always attached to God, but the soul is the mind where the feelings and emotions are developed. And if you miss that 9 month window, mothers, you're responsible for the temperament of that child. If that 9 months, if you're fighting and fussing and cussing, cheating and running, lying, gossiping, you're setting the temperament for that child. Keep in mind, there's a spirit and there's a soul that's housed in that body. So when that body comes out of you, it comes with that spirit and that soul. And that soul is the mind. So out of 9 months, you should be teaching that soul about God, condition of feeling, the emotion of the child, so that that child comes out not only attached to God through her spirit, but she's attached to God through her feelings and her emotions, which will dictate the action from her intra-conversation, those ongoing conversations in her head. So yes, God is dependent on us, mothers, to help him. And the time has come. Started in 2017, I told God, I got it. My job is to go and to gather up as many mothers and daughters as I can from around the world to come together for one purpose only, that we renew our minds and renew the minds of our daughters, which will affect the families for generations to come, and to educate our future mothers for the sole purpose of why God has chosen them to bring a human being into the world. Now, if we made a mistake and we didn't do all that we know now that we could have done, we can turn it around. You can turn it around. But don't think that you're going to go before God and he's just going to forget about the way you treat the children. Don't think that you're going to stand before him and you can tell him all the good things that you've done. God, I've done this and I've done that and I've done that. Oh, yeah. But what about that spirit and that soul I put into your care? What happened to that? You're not going to forget that. So the same way you go to Jesus to save your soul and your spirit, you are accountable for the souls and the spirit that God sent through you. He said, straight from me to the mother, I give her a pure spirit, untouched, unblemished. Anything happen that touches and blemishes that soul and that spirit is on you, mother. And yes, he's going to talk to you about it. We all going to have to answer some stuff. So that's why when we're saved, let's get saved all the way. You can't be saved partly doing good, partly, and your total package is all that he's asked you to do. Is to bring a spirit and soul into the world and to nurture it and let them know that I sent them and I sent them with a purpose. Anything less than that, we're accountable. But just know, you're warned, you know, we all know now, and we can turn it around. And this is not going to leave your mind. It's not going to leave your heart. Everyone that's hearing this message today, you're going to think about this. Don't let the devil tell you, oh, don't pay Dr. Fletcher no attention. I'm telling you straight from what God is telling me in my spirit right now. For me, you, and all the other, I am not exempt. I am just a messenger. So don't get mad with the messenger. I'm delivering the message. And like I always tell you, I'm the student. I work very hard to try to have the best relationship with my daughter. We don't have a perfect relationship. we disagree, I'm quick to apologize. I'm quick to talk about it because I do not want it to block the blessing. You can't receive the blessing if you don't have everything straightened out with your daughters, your children, and the people that he said we should love. Some people I can't even reach to say, I'm sorry. God said, but my spirit is in each and every one of them. You send it through the spirit, they'll get it. See, God is going to accept your apology through the spirit. But just remember to do it. Prosperity. Prosperity is the total package. Money doesn't make wealth, and wealth doesn't mean money alone. Wealth is a combination of things, bonds, securities, you know, you name it, insurance policies, you know. Wealth is a combination of instruments. Riches can be, you know, love, peace, happiness, money. You know, you put all that together, your health, your friends, your family. Prosperity comes when you're at peace with all of those. And that's a constant thing that we have to do. We have to work on it every day. Prosperity is in motion. It's not the destination. So wherever you are today, if you need to have an increase in that, spend some time thinking about it, praying on it, and renewing your mind on it and doing whatever you have to do to get to the next level. That's my take on it. Thank you for listening. I thank God for that. And let's see, I'll go up here and we'll get Cynthia.
Good morning,
Cynthia.
Good morning. I'm sorry about my phone just froze and died. And it wasn't that it was the charger. So one thing had nothing to do with the other. What a great topic for this time of year. We all have a charge to keep to accepting Christ because he is the total package. He is the reason for the season. And, you know, Dr. Fletcher, God gives us a charge. And I'm thinking about Mary, when Mary was told that she would be giving charge of a child when she had never been with a man. I can only think of the conversation going on in her head. But then Joseph comes in, and the angel comes to him and tell him, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife because the child that she's carrying is of the Holy Spirit. So it's just like Joseph had a choice to go with what God said and do his will in order that he could have the whole package, which was Jesus as his son. I think about that, and that is so prevalent in your conversation that we have a charge. Joseph had a charge to take Mary with that child and to raise the child according to what God said. And they were to give him a name, Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And so when God is with us, and he is with us when he gives us a child, because a child is a gift from God, now we have a responsibility, like you said, to raise that child according to the word of God and to teach him that he can have the total package. I'm reminded this morning, I was supposed to go to a funeral. My nephew, baby's mother, passed away this past week. And she was a young woman who had a charge of three children. But she chose not to take the charge unto Christ because she was a big-time drug dealer. And I'm not saying that to judge her, but I'm saying that her charge, I only prayed that she made peace with God before she left this world, because as it stands right now, her children have a great chance of following that
lineage or that general, that habit of selling drugs. So what did she do in the time that she had with her children? I think her oldest child now is 15. What legacy did she leave for her child to move towards Christ? I don't know what kind of relationship she had with Christ, despite what, but I only pray that she made peace with God so her children can move in a different direction, because she had a charge. I can't say she failed the charge, but I know that her children right now have a great chance of following that same path, and that is not the path God will have us to because the love of money is why we do illegal things. And so I only hope that her children find Christ. I can only hope that. And this young lady was only 30-some years old. And so what legacy did she leave her children? They got pictures on Facebook
and then
laying
on
top of $100 bills.
Well, you know, and then we have to go back a step ahead of her, her mother, and then her mother's
Absolutely.
Mother.
Absolutely.
You know, when things are happening, you know, I keep telling people, I said, you know, before we were saved, and even when we were saved, we don't do everything right because we are in a learning mode. We do less wrong the closer we spend with, the more time we spend with God. You know, the Holy Spirit is so, we're so filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, it's like when you're doing something wrong, the Holy Spirit's going to nudge you. No, don't do that. And it won't be that little nudge. It's going to be a nudge, like with me. I told him, I said, you make it real clear. I mean, it's just like a clamp grabs my stomach and squeezes it hard. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm like, okay, I got it. You know, it's no doubt that he's telling me don't do this, don't go there, don't, you know, whatever. But, you know, when we look at it, we got to look at above her. Because someone had this young lady. See, it goes all the way back to Eve. See, it just didn't just start it 4 or 5 generations ago. This thing started all the way back with Eve. When God says that what? You will have babies and you will have great pain. So just those decisions that she made has affected us generation. God is asking us, I sent Jesus and I present him as the Lamb. So you can avoid these things if you come back into the Garden of Eden and share time with me. But you can't come but one way, and that's through love, through Jesus. So we're going to pray for her and the children. And what I heard in my mind, God was saying, well, tell Cynthia, since she knows this, then make it your thing to make sure that you spend some time with the children and introduce Jesus to him, because he placed it on your heart. That's what I heard. He placed it on your heart. So you make sure that they know there is God. And they may not respond to it in the beginning, but I guarantee you, once they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, their life will change and things will happen, because the Holy Spirit is not going to allow them to do certain things. And I can tell you that happened. About 3 weeks ago, I was with a young couple, and I said to the Lord, I told my daughter first, I said, I'm going to invite them in, and I'm going to have breakfast for them. And when I have breakfast for them, I said, they don't even know what they're coming into. I said, when they walk in here, they're going to be changed. I'm going to feed them, and I'm taking them to the Lord this day. Now, you know what I have experienced, and you all know that because I sent you the pictures. This place, I know when they walked in here, it was going to change, because I made up my mind. And I said, enough is enough. So what did I do? I fed them. I talked to them. And then I told them, I was talking about their lives, one thing and the other. And I said, well, you know, let's just go to the Lord and ask God to forgive us for whatever we've done. And just, we're going to start all over again and let them run on into the prayer. And I'm telling you, it's like day and night in that young man's life. The young lady I haven't seen since. But I know. So I'm saying, take this opportunity. We can't talk about it. We got to be about it. So extend the love of Christ to them. Because I think if God placed it on your heart, now we know we have a charge to keep. That's just what came up in my heart. Because somebody's got to be there to take them to Christ. Somebody's got to do it. Does that make sense to you?
It does make sense. And it does make sense. And I just want the audience to know that we have a charge to keep. And when we know these things, if it's up to us and if we can do anything to encourage the next generation, that's our charge.
Mm-hmm.
And Joseph had that
same. And see, the thing of it is, it's not about our baby that we birth. See, that's the key. It's not about a baby that we birth. Lord have mercy. I forgot. We could have brought Frida in here, too. I'm sorry. I didn't realize my time was going. Frida, you there? Frida? Maybe she's not. But anyway, I was going to bring her in, too. I meant to get her comments. I didn't realize the time had gotten so close.
I'm here.
Okay. We don't always birth babies to be the mother, just like with Joseph and Mary. God showed us you don't have to be the father to be the daddy.
Father.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And so we are the parents to the children. Like in Titus 2, he tells us what? The older women should teach the younger ones. He didn't say you have to be the mother to teach them.
Mm-hmm.
So we all got a charge. That's the whole key behind what we do as mothers and daughters. Thank you, Father. God just showed me something, you all. He just said, as is the mother, so is the daughter. We are the mothers to the daughters. You know, when I read that, I've always thought of it from a birth mother. And God just showed me, we are the mothers to the daughters. That's
yes,
deep.
Absolutely.
We got about a minute, Fred. I'm sorry. We got to talk, and I meant to click you back on. Do you have anything you want to add to that?
Jesus, I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I was just thinking about when Cynthia was talking, my mind went directly to Renita. And Renita, my God, you know, you all met Renita here in Central Florida. Renita's parents, family, and everybody were big drug dealers in New York. And you would have never known that by looking at Renita, her lifestyle and everything. But here it is, a person that was modeled in front, and even her brother, she had went to a graduation. She said she had to go to her brother's graduation last weekend, because she remembered when he came to Central Florida 8 years ago, said, I would never work for anybody. You have a beautiful house. I would never work for anybody, because he adopted that lifestyle of the drug dealer, was making so much money. And with Renita, her mother passed, Renita became the person that would pray and intercede for her family. Her brother got a first person in their family that went to college and got his four-year degree last week. She says, I have to go because I know what was modeled in front, but my prayers. And I think about her, if you are a parent or a daughter, and maybe your lifestyle was modeled totally different against the will of God, but this young lady said that as a child, it was something in her knowing that she knew that this was not right. Out of everybody,
amen.
She says, I just knew. She says, I just knew within me. And so you can be the person of change in your family. You can be that one to say, okay, yes, this is what I saw, but This is what I want to be able to change and to transform. And I would like maybe for Renita to come on at some time to share testimony that Ezekiel 16:44, she decided she wanted to be a different parent than what she saw.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's just like Pastor Linda when she was with us at the Mother and Daughter Camp, and our time is really up, but I'm going to say this and then we'll narrow that, close out.
Mm-hmm.
She, you know, she said that she was, you know, she's a beautiful, beautiful woman. And, you know, you can imagine as a young girl and then here are prostitutes and men and all around her. And they just waiting to get their hands on her. But she knew that she was different. She knew she was set aside. So, you know, there again, where did that come from? Somewhere along the line, somewhere God will, you know, you plant the seed, but God will do what? Send somebody to water it and then increase. Somebody plant
right, he gets
a seed in her. All right, well, that's our show for the day, ladies. I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right, that's the show. Thank you, guys. Just remember, think prosperity and think the total package. Have a blessed week. Bye-bye.